Hello and welcome back to the Roll Bravely podcast. If this is your first time here, consider backing out, finding the first episode, starting there. We like it. We think you will too. We wouldn't recommend it. If you are returning, we appreciate you giving us another chance to entertain you with our game, with our little whatever this is. And we would appreciate if you would consider liking it, leaving a review, 5 stars, 4 meow meow beans, 3 thumbs up, whatever your podcasting app allows you to do to show that you are enjoying this content and you'd like to see some more of it. But if you don't want to, or you can't be bothered, or you're driving and just don't want to pick up the phone right now, that's fine too. We just appreciate you being here, giving us your time, hanging out with us while we roll dice. So, with that said, and without further ado, let us return to the world of Iam, where the crew finally arrives in the city of Hope's Embrace, a city roiled by political discontent and ever-expanding tensions between the people who call it home. What kind of trouble can our party get into? I think we're going to find out soon enough. Come on. Let's go. Hello and welcome back to Roll Bravely, a live play Pathfinder 2nd edition tabletop role-playing game podcast. I am your game master, Charles Reno, and if you are rejoining us after the first episode, why? No, I am...
He means thank you and welcome back.
Thanks, and welcome back.
Thank you. That is what I mean. Welcome back. Happy to have everyone here. But before we get into the game, let's introduce the table.
Hi, my name is Kenny. I play Amaris. He is a ranger human tiefling.
My name is Zach. I play Taldir, who is a human Nephilim champion, technically liberator.
My name is Sammy. I play Taz, who's an alchemist.
My name is Michelle. I play Wesley Nixon, who is an elf Damphir investigator who dabbles in historical reenacting.
Nice. Awesome. We are at the campsite where we left off last time. The image of a young goblin girl moving about in the flame. We can see that she is on fire within the flame, and she steps out of it towards Taz, lifting a hand, a finger, just stretched out towards him, as if asking for his hand.
Taz is gonna, like, go and pass out from how drunk he is and just hit the ground.
And as he does so, the image fades, and we fade out. So before we go to sleep, what are the rest of you going to do, if anything?
Taz is out drunk until the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Taldir's really going to do much. He's just going to pretty much keep to himself, just eat his whatever shitty dinner they gave us, and then go to sleep.
Yeah, I'll collect Taz and make sure he's comfy, cover him with a, you know, lay out his bedroll and whatnot, and tuck him in, basically. You know, this isn't the first time I've seen this, so kind of becoming a nighttime routine, if you will. And then after that, I will talk with buddy that's got us here and see who's taking the first watch.
I'll take first watch.
Okay. Wesley volunteers to take the first watch. So go ahead and just roll a perception check.
Ooh, 18. 18 plus 7. 20. 18 plus. I was hoping someone else was finishing before.
I wanted to see. I was
I gotta use my finger. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23,
24, 25. 25. Better hope you never get a plus 11.
I'll just start over.
You see a math tutor. No. Oh, no. There is nothing in the night, but as you're kind of keeping watch, the elderly, well, kind of late middle-aged shop or merchant, Falk Cloudfang, he kind of approaches you, and he's just gonna kind of, he's keeping a bit of distance. You are what, 6'2", 6'3"-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're probably like a half foot taller than this guy. And he's just kind of got like his hat in his hand almost, and he's gonna say,
"Never had an opportunity to make it to your land, is it? True what they say, filled with monsters and all sorts of terrors?"
Well, I haven't seen any monsters around, but lots of terrors. They look very similar to you.
Oh. I apologize. I didn't mean, I just, it seems like a fascinating place. I've heard that you have wolves who can speak like men and spiders the size of a horse.
We don't have to talk about spiders.
Oh, okay. Yes. Secret spider army, or... No, never mind. I'm sorry. rude of me. I'm pushing. I just... So fascinated. I've made it so many places, but... Never to your homeland. And anyway, welcome to the desert. I hope you enjoy it here. Contrary to what you've heard, it is not mostly sunburns and methamphetamines. It is, there's a lot else going on.
Welcome to the desert. Not like a specific place in the desert. Not just
the desert.
Yeah, welcome to the desert. Enjoy your time here.
As it's called, nobody will be able to guess after they look up our profiles later.
They just, we only have the one city. There's not like a, not a lot of other places to go here. I thought you went to bed.
This isn't Tal you're talking.
Thank you for the for welcoming us here. If you ever visit my homeland, just ask for Lilith. I'm sure she'd enjoy your company.
No, oh, okay. I will remember that. And tomorrow when we make it to town, I will introduce you to Governor Crew. She asked to meet with you upon your arrival.
Me? Anyway, I'm just kidding.
Yes, yes. So, such modesty. Yes. But no. Anyway, welcome, and I appreciate your help earlier.
And at that point, he's going to kind of turn and like kind of walk off, do that kind of like embarrassed half, like step and a half shuffle. Like, I don't look like I'm running, but I really need to get out of here. And the first watch comes to an end. Who are you waking for the second watch?
Amorous.
That time already.
Wakey, wakey.
Kind of kicks his stuff together into a pile and, you know, opens his eyes, does the hard blinks a couple times, and then kind of shakes out his shoulders and kind of ready to go. Yeah, I've got it. Thank you. Anything to report? Anything to watch out for?
No. Everyone seems pretty chill.
All right, then I've got it from here.
Okay, go ahead and roll a perception check.
I hope. That is a 23.
23, nice. Yeah. So as you kind of walk the grounds, first you're going to come upon, there are several other civilian settlers who are with you as part of this caravan. And then the first person that you see, almost everyone else is asleep, but she's kind of out doing some mending. And as you sort of like make your circle around camp, she's going to call to you and just be like, "Can't sleep either."
No, I was sleeping fine. It's just my turn for watch. Oh. Why can't you sleep?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I almost died today. You know, the rumors of what's been going on, it's... Death would be the best option, I suppose. These bandits that have been harassing the settler caravans. The word around Marador is that they're taking slaves for reasons that we can't figure. Probably a life working in the mines. They say there are hundreds of abandoned tunnels, shafts, and other hideaways here in the empty desert. But I don't mean to bother you with that. You look awful young to be a guard. How did you... Are you... Pardon my impertinence, but... Are you even full grown?
Yeah, if, as long as I don't get fat, like, the dude over there, I think I'm doing okay. But, you know, think about all the adventure you'd miss out on if you died. Sounds like, pretty poor way to spend what little time we have.
Your accent sounds familiar. Where are you from?
I haven't been asked that in a while, but, you know, I can't quite remember. You know, I've been traveling for a while, and I try not to look back.
Well, I suppose in that, at least, there is some wisdom. Good luck to you.
Wisdom. That's the first time I've heard that regarding me. But, thank you. Try to get some sleep.
I will, as soon as I finish my mending. And you move on, and as you move on, there's kind of a storm rolling in from, like, the northwest. And you can see, like, the thick, billowous clouds kind of blowing in. And as you're sort of looking over it, there's, like, a collection of shorter, smaller mesas, maybe even just large boulders in the distance, that make up these kind of geological formations. And in the far distance, lightning cracks. And when it does, you see a figure on a horse atop one of the mesas. It is the image of darkness, as if light itself cannot touch the actual figure. And when the lightning dissipates, you just see empty sky. And you spend some time searching for the figure, some sliver of recognition causing your heart to race. But regardless of how hard you search, you cannot find it. And eventually return to your duties patrolling the edge of camp. Maybe your mind played a trick on you. Maybe you're seeing things. You can't be certain. Who's next?
I'll go ahead and wake Teldir next. I'll give him a gentle but firm kick in the side. Like, hey, you're up.
Yeah, when you wake him, he like very quickly like grabs his hammer and like gets into like basically a ready position. He's like, what is it? Like, aggressively.
And as that happens, I'll just kind of stand back kind of defensively and kind of grab for my scimitar. Be like, hey, it's your watch. And I'll remove my hand from my scimitar and just like, you got this?
Yeah, he'll be like, he'll actually just kind of like look at you and then like size you up a little bit, and then he'll just kind of like grunt and nod his head. Like, yeah, all right. And then he will put on his armor, because you can't sleep in it.
Don't start that.
True, it takes
strike
10
that
minutes.
For the record.
I think it takes longer than 10 minutes to fully put on your armor. You can hastily don it, but then you like get a penalty to your AC. Anyways, long story short, at least that's how one E worked. But then he'll put on his armor, and then he will, he'll do his little patrol of the camp.
Okay, go ahead and roll a perception check.
Hero.
Oh man, the first of the session.
That's my guy.
I'm so glad you got your bad rolls out during practice. Wait, did you just fuck up?
Wait.
Never mind.
Hell yeah, brother.
That's a natural one.
That's a natural one. Okay. You are kind of walking around the camp. This is all new to you. You lived in more or less the same place your entire life until going on this journey. And in many ways, the landscape is alien and strange, and you get kind of caught up into it. And as you are, like, thinking about your next steps, you get approached from behind, and another man kind of, like, grabs your shoulder, and he's just like, "Are you all right?"
Like, are we saying that my natural one perception, like, I had no idea he was behind me?
No idea.
Okay, kind of the same thing as when Amaris woke him up then. When he, like, feels someone put his hand on his shoulder, he's gonna, like, spin around, like, aggressively, and he's gonna, like, go to draw his hammer and, like, bring his shield up, like, reflexively. But then when he hears the guy just ask, like, "Are you alright?" or whatever, he'll be like, "I'm fine. What do you want?"
Oh, just one of Falk's guards on watch as well. Trying to keep an eye on the camp. I saw you sort of wandering out here. You looked almost lost. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just a lot to think about.
What's wrong with your eyes?
Nothing's wrong with them. Just born this way.
Weird, like a wolf, maybe. Or, I don't know. Never seen anything like it.
Not a lot of people have.
You get a lot of comments on it.
He'll kind of laugh a little bit, and then he will say, well, let's just say a lot of people throughout my life have been particularly interested.
Well, that's weird, like, because they're sexy or something. I literally was born in a barn. I don't have a lot of manners.
Literally born in a barn?
Yeah, my father was a cowhand, my mother was a milkmaid, we lived in the barn, I shared a stable with them. It was a bit awkward at times, but, you know. Anyway, born in a barn, grew up, raised there.
Well,
so I don't know how you big city folk do it, but just ask questions when I'm curious.
I mean, a barn would have been a nice upgrade from some of the places I've lived most of my life.
Stables, right?
Stables and worse.
Well, sun's about to come up. Only a few more hours in the night, so let's pray it stays quiet, eh?
Yeah. What was your name again?
Jerry.
Nice to meet you, Jerry.
Yeah, just the one name. Parents didn't think to give me a second.
Jerry Barnson.
Yes, born in a barn. Barnborn. That's Jerry Barnborn to you.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
You as well.
We've actually got similar conventions for our last name. Stronghammer, Barnborn.
Right. So, I don't understand. You were born in a hammer.
No, just wield one.
Well, it's a bit different then, right?
Yeah, but like...
Blacksmith's,
you know,
son.
Really, our last names just kind of describe things about us, you know? They're not like real last names, you get it.
Right, yeah, I mean, I just made mine up right now, so...
I
guess very similar.
Mine up, so.
I'm gonna go by that. Like some highfalutin lord. Oh, Mr. Barnborn. Look at you with your two names.
Yeah, I'm
glad I met you.
Me or the highfalutin royal in your hypothetical situation?
No, I'm back to reality.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice to meet you too, Jerry. Big J.
It's Mr. Bonbon to you. Though if you want to take those eyes to my tent later, I'm off duty soon, so. Anyway, see you around.
Yeah, see you around, Jerry.
See you around. Hammer strong, strong hammer. Strong hammer.
Yep. All right, now. see you for the third time, Jerry.
Right, yes. Bad goodbyes. Anyway, I'm just gonna fuck off and leave.
Yep, hey, have a good one, Jerry.
Unless you want me to stay. I can stay if you want.
No, I actually need to get back to my patrol. Actually, Jerry is the thing.
All right.
Yeah.
And Jerry just wanders off. Right, but look me up sometime.
Yep. Talder's just going to do that thing where you, awkwardly, wave and don't really look at them when you just want them to leave. You just don't want to make eye contact in case they interpret it incorrectly, you know?
Yeah. Especially not with them pretty eyes.
Then when you get the, yep, okay, yep, good, yep, nice to see you,
yep.
They're, walking you out the door. That's basically how all of my job interviews end, so I definitely know what you're talking about. So last but not least, is Taz even able to be roused at this point?
I was going to ask, how long are the watches, do you think? How long, are the shifts, or have the shifts been?
I would say probably about 3 hours as the camp kind of moves in stages, right? Some people are going to bed earlier than others, some people are staying up to do things while it's cool in the dark, and then some are waking up early to, prepare the meal, things like that, so probably about 3 hours each.
I guess, how do you think that since, that enough time has passed with Taldir resting, that by the time he was woken for his watch, he would have gotten a long rest, basically?
Yeah.
Okay, so unless Taz specifically wants to be woken up, I think Taldir, having kind of seen Taz pass out and have his drunken whatever, and having already gotten enough rest himself, would be fine just kind of continuing to take the watch, because he doesn't really want to go back to sleep anyways, and just let Taz sleep it off.
Yeah, you look at me and I kind of have my ass kind of in the air. I'm snoring really hard.
Look how little kids fall asleep with their ass up in the air.
Like in the backseat of a car or something.
Yeah. Just snoring hard.
That's awesome. All right. So, Taldir finishes out the evening. You all begin to wake. There's a morning meal. Is there anything you would like to do before basically breaking camp and heading toward town?
When you guys see Taz in the morning, not hungover at all. He's just ready to rock and roll. High energy. Sup, everybody? Good morning. You know?
I like to imagine you made one of your fucking alchemist elixir of healings or something to fucking cure your hangover.
The magic hangover thing. It's a sunny side up egg and a burger.
That's awesome.
If only that worked.
Taldir's not going to do really anything specific, but he is going to keep an eye out, and if he sees Jerry, he's going to quickly walk the other way.
Yeah, just in line at breakfast, and Jerry's like, "Hey, strong hammer, over here."
He's going to pretend he hears something in the other direction, look away from him.
Is he calling you? Is that guy calling you?
No. I didn't hear anything.
Hey, I think we were friends, remember? We made friends last night.
Anyways, I'm not hungry anymore, actually. I think I'm going to get out of line.
I'm going to just nudge.
I got rations in my pack, actually. So.
I'm going to elbow Taldir and kind of tell him, it must be another strong hammer, eh? Hell of a watch, eh?
Well, you know, he'd like to think so.
It's actually Bonbon. It's Bonbon.
I just should have looked at Taz like, the fuck did he just say? Woohoo.
He gave me that name. Jesus.
All right. Breakfast passes without incident. You guys are able to pack up. It takes some time, but is there anything that you would like to do on the journey, or should we just arrive?
Yeah, I mean, nothing of importance. I'm just gonna kind of whittle as I.
Are you driving Amos, our carriage?
You know what? That's probably a better idea. Yes, I forget how you feel about horses. I see the bloodlust in your eyes, and I put away my chunk of wood and my dagger, and I will take the reins from you. And you're gripping pretty hard there, buddy. Go ahead and just let go. take it easy, okay? Just, I got this. I got this. Study your stuff.
About how, Amris, I've been working on that, that tattoo. What do you think? And I'm gonna pull out a piece of paper. I'm gonna show it to you, and it looks like a child's handwriting, and you cannot decipher what it is. I did it last night when I was kind of drunk, but I mean, you kind of get it, right?
Emerus is gonna look at it with kind of a perplexed face. He's like, "That's kind of what
yeah,
you
that's
hit
mean,
this.
That's you. That's yeah, where that's we a, met. You know,
kind of what you described. Yeah,
that's a sunset.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, buddy. And I just pat him on the back and like, hey, you know what? Fuck it, I trust him. But also, I don't know what the fuck that is at all.
That's
and
awesome.
Then I just continue, you know, mush horses.
I'm going to try to fix the drawing of the tattoo on the carriage ride. You're going to hear my pen. You're going to hear, like, my pen pierce the paper a few times as you know, writing.
I feel like I have that memory of, like, trying to draw in, like, a composition notebook while my dad is driving. And, like, it's like, I can fix this, and there's no fixing it.
Snap your pencil, the tip of the pencil.
Oh, Taldir, Wesley, anything that you would like to do?
Are we driving our own?
So, I guess it's sort of up to you. Originally, you were in the same wagon as the dwarf who assists a Falk. As far as I know, nobody asked his name. But you can be anywhere you like.
Okay, I guess I'll just ride with these guys.
All right. So, at first, the city appears kind of like a dot on the horizon. The desert is relatively low and level in this area. There's still a pretty substantial amount of shrubbery, kind of chaparral kind of life. Things have begun to return to the edge of the desert. Each of you knows, at a minimum, that centuries ago, common lore holds that an event known as the Blightening occurred in the Almiran Desert, wiping out all life, even microbial life in the dirt, turning the desert entirely barren. Eventually, some sedimentary deposits made their way off the mountain. Seeds blew in from other lands and began to take root, and those that could survive have begun to. The first creatures to return were monsters. And for a long time, people were perfectly happy with that. People were terrified of whatever the Blightening had been. Reports on it are mixed. There is no substantiated details that can be trusted or verified at this point, beyond the fact that all life was eradicated. However, in recent years, the discovery of an element known as speculite brought men and dwarves and elves in particular back to the desert to try to retake it and reform the kingdoms and lands which once existed there. The first of these is an outpost from nearby Amarat called Hope's Embrace. For a long time, it existed as a tiny mining settlement, but the discovery of vast underwater or underground water tables created this opportunity to kind of develop civilization. And so as you approach it, you can see now it is a rather large city, probably 10,000 residents, high walls with tulip-domed parapets. The construction of the buildings inside are like Middle Ottoman, if that's familiar to you. Like a lot of sandstone and granite with domed ceilings, ornamented in glass and painted to look sort of gold and other exotic colors. And in the center of the city, you can see rising from it a relatively steep hill, mesa flat in construction, whereupon a large palace structure is built. You enter through the gates, and each side of the gate is kind of ordained with these giant kind of 20-foot statues that are images of Hoamhar, the living god emperor of harmony, who, legend has it, stopped the Blightning from expanding beyond this desert and ensured the survival of humanity outside of it. Once you're inside the gates, you see a mix of peoples and cultures. This has become a destination for those seeking either an escape from their previous life, wealth or power, influence, or merely to try to make a name for themselves in a new community where they've been told opportunities are limitless. It becomes quickly clear that this is not entirely true as you kind of tumble through the city on your caravans. You can see clerics calling out to the people, preaching the word of their gods. You can see beggars attempting to get scraps. You see clergy walking through the streets with these giant tubs, handing out spoonfuls, like scoops, ladles of water to obviously starving individuals. And in the middle of all of this, you see some individuals kind of like moving through on soapbox-like structures, calling out a variety of concerns. You know, one of them is like, kind of, you know, how long are we going to allow this management to continue? How long are we going to allow them to take what was ours? Governor Crewe has to answer. And you see like men in old kind of gabesons and other kind of military jackets, like kind of crowded around him, listening intently and almost like cheering him on. And eventually you passed him and passed all of this to a portion of town, which is called Terrytown. And it is known for being home to new arrivals, adventurers, other people attempting to experience Hope's Embrace. Eventually, you pull to an inn. Sorry, one second. When you arrive, the wagon stop. Falk dismounts and kind of shouts to everybody, "Right, we're here. Everybody, you have a room for the evening. But after that, you're all on your own. I appreciate the help and the assistance everyone has offered and the payment that those who were unable have managed to provide. But our journey comes to an end. I thank the lot of you." And you see the other civilians from the caravan kind of disperse. A few families even kind of wander into the inn, eyes wide, kind of gawking. It's almost as though they came without a plan. But after a moment, you find just the four of yourselves with Falk standing out by the wagons.
My hand's just up, like waiting for him to put money in my hand.
Right. Give Dr. Burton Arnold my regards, and he's gonna like kind of just drop 10 silver pieces into your hand. And of course you, Amaris, as well, and he's going to do the same, and then he's going to go to Taldir and be like, we appreciate the help, and drop 10 silver pieces into your hand if you're willing to take them.
How much did he give Taz? I'm sorry.
10 silver. And then he'll kind of walk to Wesley and be like, oh, well, I know you were along for the ride, but you did help with those bandits. I hope I'm not insulting you. And he's going to kind of hold 10 silver out towards Wesley.
Curtsy. And I gladly take it.
Oh, you're gonna take it. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's why I offered it. Yep. That's what I expected.
My eyes turn black when I stand back up.
Oh, yes.
You can't just offer money and then be like, oh, you're gonna take it? That's kind of, you know, it's kind of weird, man, as I start walking away.
And thank you for doing so. That's what I was really trying to say. You're a delight. Anyway, I will send word to the governor and let her know that you've arrived, and see when she would like to meet. Other than that, appreciate your support again, and I will be off. He's visibly nervous. He kind of, for a minute, had gotten a little disarmed by Wesley. The little conversation and things went pretty well, but then the eyes going black was like, oh! You can see he's a little scared as he flees the scene.
Excuse me, sir. What's his name again? Did I get his name?
Falk.
Yeah, he is. This is Falk Cloudfang.
Mr. Cloudfang. What was the name of the governor again?
Her name is Victoria Crew.
Victoria Crew. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem, anytime. Sorry, my voice changes a lot when I get scared. I don't even remember how I originally sounded, but this is how I sound now. And he's gonna kind of slink away. Remember to shop at Cloudfang Consortium.
Do you guys have ink, like tattooing ink, at your place?
Oh, we got anything you could want. We've got ink. Look, we've got this tattooing little paper
ink.
Thing.
Do you have tattooing ink?
Oh, okay. I can procure it, yes.
Okay, yeah. Never mind.
Okay, I guess we're not doing business. That's fine. Anyway, good day. He's going to kind of like reach a hand down to try to shake Taz's hand.
I'm going to dap him up. I'm going to like give him like that handshake. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man.
Yeah. He's going to do that, like, awkward, like, white guy thing where he's like, I'm just going to stay a half second behind you to see, like, where this is going and try to follow your lead. Like, is it just the bump? Are we blowing it up? Are we what's... Okay.
I get secondhand embarrassment from this guy. Like...
Anyway, remember, shop at Cloudfang Consortium. For all your irreverent needs.
Well, now that it's just the four of us in the middle of this road, you know, I'm going to try to like stand in front of him to nudge him out of frame, you know?
Mm-hmm. Are you right, shorter than him, though?
Yeah, say, as he just looks over you.
I'm leaving. And he just trots away.
So at this point, you guys are free to explore the city if there's something you would like to do, or you can wait in the inn for a word from Governor Crew.
Really, I want to pickpocket some people.
Oh.
Practice my pickpocket.
This is a great place to do it, too. If fantasy towns on the frontier edges of humanity had tourist districts. This is it. This is like nobles from nearby countries like come just to say that they've been here. And you can see that the streets are like crowded. It's full of like vendors selling like little food trinkets that are made from the desert, little like bracelets and earrings, things like that. As you move through the crowd, go ahead and make a Zach, what is the check?
Are you talking about perception or thievery?
Pickpocketing would be thievery.
I thought that was under something though, my bad.
No, it's right, its own skill.
Yeah, there's steal and palm an object and under thievery.
19 plus 6 19 20 21 22 25 25.
Yeah, so to pickpocket, and correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, but I think I remember it relatively well, you roll a thievery check opposed against the target's perception check to see if they notice. And so you got a what, 25? With a 25, they're going to not notice anything. You find an individual. He's tall, human. He's got these kind of like long red knots in his hair. His hair is kind of like a bright red color, and it's decorated with all kinds of like feathers and jewels and things like that. It's like a lion's mane, and he's wearing this kind of like loose robe with a belt that has like an assortment of pouches and pockets. He's berating this individual who's like kind of poorly dressed, probably a commoner of some sorts, and he's like, "You told me the bathhouse is in this area, but I see nothing but these trinket shops. So I'm dying from the heat." And you kind of reach into his pocket. You manage to pull something off of it. Go ahead and roll a d4 for me. Let me know what you get.
2. 2.
All right. So you are able to palm the little satchel that you pull off of his belt. And when you open it up, it is 13 copper pieces.
Cool.
And then I want to try to
give him.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to take all the coins and then be like, put the coins in my pocket. Like, sir, you drop this.
He like whirls around and he's like, "The audacity!" Oh, apologies, sir. I assume Wesley is dressed relatively well. She's comes from an aristocratic background. Yeah, so as soon as he sees you, he's just going to change his tone entirely and be like, "Oh, my apologies. Thank you very much. This town is impossible. The heat. It's miserable. Have you been in town long?"
"Yeah, I've been here a while. The bathhouse that you're looking for is that way." And then I just point him in a random direction.
"Oh, thank you, my hero. I appreciate it very much."
I tip my hat to you, but like, I don't have a hat, but...
You make the motion?
Yeah, I make the gesture.
"Come on, mud boy." And he just like kicks the commoner that he's with, and he's like, "Oh, okay, yes." And they go off in the direction.
I give the coins to the commoner.
Okay. Roll a sleight of hand check. Or I guess, yeah, sleight of hand, right?
Ooh, what's sleight of hand?
I think it would be also thievery, possibly like a palm object or something, or stealth, maybe.
Probably. I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, I would probably say palm an object. If you're trying to, are you trying to do it like just drop it into their pocket or something, or are you trying to actually hand it to them?
No, I'll put it in their pocket, but like making eye contact with them so they know.
Okay, yeah. If you're gonna do that, I don't think. Well, yeah. Go ahead and roll the. Sorry. I would say palm
stealth. It has conceal an object. I would say maybe that or sneak under stealth.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna let you decide if you want to roll palm an object or sneak. I think both of those sound pretty reasonable here.
I'll do sneak. 17 plus 6. 17, 18, 19.
17 23. Plus 6, yeah. You manage to, like, drop the coins in his pocket and maybe even give him one of those, like, silent, you know, like, shh kind of things. He sees it and sort of, like, feels in his pocket and just kind of mouths, like, thank you. And goes back to... He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's in this direction, sir, in this direction.
Do any of us notice her do that? Can I roll to see
if... Yeah, go ahead and roll a... Go ahead and roll perception if you want to try to notice.
I'll get in on that.
I kind of want to pass it. Like, I don't want to... I'm not actively looking for it. Just want to see if, like, if I catch it. But...
I guess that probably...
I got a nat 20, so I fucking saw that shit like Sherlock Holmes in the Robert Downey Jr. version.
I got a 19 total.
Yeah, so... I would say... With a natural 20, you definitely saw it. A 19, you're very observant, but she rolled, I think, a 25 on the original pickpocket. So you probably didn't see that, but you may have seen her, like, give it to the commoner.
For sure. I do want to try to buy some ink. I don't want to take up too much time with that, but I would like to try to buy... Yeah, ink.
Yeah, anything. So I think the way we'll kind of run it is anything that's like lower level or equal level to the party characters, you can just find in town. So as long as the regents are, or reagents, are lower level than Taz, you can go ahead and find it and just pay the price from the book. It'll be just the flat... normal price. There's no, like, economic modifier here. This is a booming trade city that only works by just intense commerce coming in and out. They have many valuable resources, but not a lot of food that they can grow, so they sort of rely on business here.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm just gonna buy black ink, and I want to buy one gold piece worth, because it says I could make a hand size tattoo in black ink that won't fade. It will cost one silk to do that big of a tattoo, so I'll get a gold piece worth of ink.
So that'll be what, 10 basically uses of,
yeah,
a hand size tattoo, or one really big ass full back tattoo.
Yeah, basically.
A full ass back tattoo.
That'd be great. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So mine is this bitch. All right.
Taldir, you were gonna do something.
Yeah. Taldir would like to gather information on Vale.
Right. So, that's probably something you could even do at the inn if you wanted to give it a shot.
So gather information is like an actual action, like an exploration action or something like that in Pathfinder 2E.
Right.
But basically, I roll a check. The DC is determined by you. It takes like upwards of 2 hours, but it is like... representing the cumulative kind of time spent, like, walking around the town, talking to people, like, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing. And I would like to, if you'll allow it, use my intimidation for this. Not like, you know, like, ideally, Taldir's not gonna be, like, particularly fucking, like, you know, kicking in doors intimidating or anything like that. But, like, he's going to be, like, he's very invested in getting information on this, and so, like, he will be, you know, like, very directly kind of pursuing it, and, like, he's not above, like, threatening if he thinks people are, like, lying to him or something like that. So, like, not, you know, crazy boots on necks intimidation, but just kind of not, you know, the most diplomatic about it either.
Yeah, direct. He's a serious guy. I like it. Okay, go ahead and roll your check.
Come on, please, God. Please, God. Oh, God.
All I see is your arm moving in this general.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count because I dropped it when I was making a joke. And I'm going to use a hero point, so.
Yeah, do over. I'll just edit it out.
How did it go?
Oh, man. I don't think it
doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to kill myself. I rolled a 9, and then I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to hero point that. And then I dropped it when Michelle made her comment. I was like, that doesn't count because it was a natural 2. And then I decided to roll again, you know, because the natural 2 didn't count as my
right.
hero point reroll.
Yeah.
And then I got a natural 1.
So, you got a natural 1.
So
I love it.
And
you spit.
By the rules of gather information, if I critically fail, I actually get incorrect information about what I was looking for. So.
Yeah. You spend some time going around town talking to different people. You find your way into some of the less reputable, like, taverns and bar rooms. People don't seem to want to talk too awful much to you. The little bit of information you get from people, they seem to view you as an outsider. And it's kind of like, oh. Hey, Vale. I heard he left town. Haven't heard from him or his crew in a while. Yeah, he's gone quiet. But, you know. Keep at it. You'll get there. So you don't get a lot of information as it begins to grow later in the day. Remember, you had about a half day's journey to get here. You probably left sometime early in the morning. So you've probably spent, you know, 6-7 hours on the road. You've been investigating for a little while. You're probably starting to get to early evening, maybe 4-5 o'clock.
In hindsight, that probably should have been a secret check.
Maybe.
Since critical failure can result in wrong information, because, like, now as a player, I know this is wrong information, so I'm thinking, like, he's definitely in town, you know? Well, but, obviously, I can't, like, metagame that, but, yeah. Anyways, just food for thought,
yeah.
I guess.
I choose to interpret wrong information broadly.
I mean, it's, like, at the very least, I know it's useless information.
Is it? To you, maybe.
That's the only thing I care about.
Oh. All right. Anything else before you check in to see about your meeting with the governor?
Hello, governor. No,
hello.
I mean, as soon as I get my ink, I'm good.
Yeah, Tyler's good after they gather information.
And as we're walking back, I'm like, I got enough to give everyone here a tattoo if you guys want. You know, pretty good at them. I've done like 3.
Who wants to get tatted up?
Yeah.
You're actually just like apprenticing and wear your fucking stand-ins for pigskin.
He's apprenticing and nobody's teaching him.
Draw a sick butterfly.
I work on how to tattoo, okay? It's pretty easy.
Now don't start this.
You put the needle in the skin. Charles knows how to build a house because he read a book.
I just said a book could contain all of the information required to build a home.
It's not what you said, it's how you said it.
It's true. Building houses takes no skill.
This is...
You just have to read a book.
Yeah. Anybody can do it.
This is probably a 21-year-old argument. We don't have to peel the scab off that one.
Why do you have to age things?
God, right? I felt bad because in my head I was like, I was going to say this is a 6 or 7-year-old argument, and then I looked at the date on my computer and did the math.
I just want to be abundantly clear. Charles hates blue-collar workers.
It's not that he hates them, he just thinks that he's better than them.
Yeah, that's better.
This is not true. I have several work shirts with blue collars. I wear them from time to time.
Work shirts. Look at this guy. Fancy enough to have a whole separate set of clothes just for work.
Fancy enough. Trapped in the maw of the corporate machine enough. One of the two. As you guys re-enter into the tavern, it is starting to get towards evening. It is a bustling tavern. The Blushing Goldfinch is a central hub even for this part of town. You see individuals who appear to be noble, others who obviously are mine workers, with one of the mining corporations that exists in town. There are others dressed in armor and robes, exotic and familiar to all of you.
What makes them obviously mine workers? Like, they just have, like, the kind of dirty look that blue-collar workers have, or...
They look super strong and smart, and they hold their liquor well.
So blue-collar workers are just all alcoholics. Got it.
Yeah, got it.
Cool.
In retrospect, the rest of what I have prepared is in very poor taste.
Yeah. Let's see it. Roll it out.
Yeah.
We're going to do it anyway. You spend some time in this room. Maybe have a couple of drinks. Maybe get dinner. And I would say after 20 or 30 minutes, you are approached by a man. He's kind of got this, like, white shirt on, looks clean, and has a nice haircut. And he's going to kind of like stand at the edge of the table you're seated at and just say, like, I don't think I've seen you here before.
That's because we're new in town.
Right. Got a lot of new people in town. I don't think we need him. You see three other individuals from the table near you kind of stand up and sort of start to approach him. It's like, me and my brothers, we think maybe y'all go back to wherever you came from.
Taz is going to walk up like, hi, I'm Taz. Like, kind of buzzed, not really, you know, a little tipsy. Try to shake his hand.
These people are in a cultural epicenter tourist town, and they've singled out our table to be like, we actually don't like new people around here. Like, I know we're a main thoroughfare, and like, basically we just constantly have new people. But
he's a little drunk. He's a little drunk.
It's me. It's the goblin.
Walking into some diner in New York. I hate all the new people and diversity here.
It's like when they build an apartment building next to your favorite restaurant. It's just like, fuck, I know we need the money, but God, isn't there another way?
Anyways,
I mean, I'm not against progress, but let's call it what it is. This is gentrification.
So this idiot walks up to us.
Yeah, and I don't like you, and I don't like your logic.
Yeah,
because I can't understand it. All I know how to do is swing a pickaxe.
I also write poetry in my spare time.
I'm actually something of a philosopher.
Poetry about how much I hate outsiders.
Not the philosophers again.
Yeah. So, I would say this is not an unusual sentiment around town, and as you've been walking around, you may have felt some of it. There is a mix of feelings in Hope's embrace, especially among the individuals employed by the mining company, the miners. You would have seen some animosity towards, like, new arrivals, things like that. But he's basically going to tell you, I guess maybe I've been a little rude. What do you think, brothers? If I've been rude? And you see all three of them kind of go, maybe a little, yeah. I don't know. And then, like, there's just one who's, like, kind of, he's just, like, got a normal shirt and overalls on, and he's just like, I don't want to do this again, guys.
I'm gonna be like, you have been rude. You haven't shaken my hand yet. I said my name's Taz.
I want to shake your hand.
Right. Yeah. Well, look. Taz, nice to meet you. That is rude. My name's Smythe. Smythe Kenwick. These are my brothers. That one is Kinder. And he's going to point towards a sort of tall, slender one. And that's Galvian. And he kind of tips a hat at you when he introduces him. And the last one there is Brad. We are the Kenwick brothers.
Kenwick.
I think it'd be nice to get to know each other, yeah?
Kenwick. Let me just keep saying that. Kenwick.
Kenwick. So why don't we have a little competition to see who gets to stay here tonight?
Kenwick.
Huh? Why don't I just pay for my room and stay here anyways?
Yeah, well, I'm going to turn my chair away from them and go back to talking to Taz.
That is the point.
Kenwick.
You go to your room. We stay down here in the tavern.
Or what if I just do what I want?
As a mechanic for the game, we are going to introduce a duel system, which is... second edition, legitimate. Which basically, from time to time, the players will be challenged by either other individuals, events. They could be social, they could be combat, they could be whatever. If you choose to accept the duels, which you do not have to do, you can receive a boon from them, and victory also results in the award of a hero point. Basically, Smythe and his brothers have challenged the four of you to a drinking competition. And he's going to say, we go round for round, shots of Picot, local delicacy. If we beat you, you go to your room, get your stinky outsider faces out of here. And if you win, we leave you in peace and welcome you to the community.
I'm already drunk.
Calder will kind of roll his eyes and be like, fuck it. And he'll agree.
He's gonna take a bottle and, like, pour out two shots and hand one to Taldir and take one for himself. Anybody else participating?
Participate.
Wesley takes a shot. His brother Kinder also takes a shot. What about Amrys?
I'm going to stand back, just kind of watching like a hawk. I just want to take everything in, out of reach of any of them and their weapons, but kind of ready to go if need be.
Awesome. And then Taz?
Yeah, I'll do it.
I'll pat him on the back and kind of give him like a hard shove and like, you got this, buddy.
I wanted to see so if like- I could. I'm trying to read it real quick. Does antidote, like, will that cure me? Because I'm poisoned right now because I've been drinking. Will that cure it up?
No, the way antidotes work is they give you a bonus on saves against poison. They don't, like, just flat-out cure shit.
Okay. Then I'm just in it.
All right. So the way it'll work, he pours a shot for each of these six participating members. He's going to say, this works. Best 2 out of 3. Look. And, like, you could see this liquor is, like, milky and like kind of grayish and almost separates into layers as he pours it. And he's going to take his first shot and throw it back. So here's how kind of the game will work is for each shot you take, make a DC 12 fortitude save and a DC 12 wisdom save. You can also attempt to bluff, which is a deception check against their perception DC. You can attempt to intimidate them, which will decrease their likelihood of succeeding on their save. Or you can attempt to dump the shot by making a stealth check against their perception DC.
Quick question. You said wisdom save? Is that a flat wisdom save or a will save? Because your will save is affected by wisdom.
Sorry, will save. Okay. That's what
okay,
I meant.
Okay. So we're making how many checks? Sorry?
So just two. Just roll two d20s.
What's the first one? I'm sorry. Just.
Yeah, a fortitude, DC 12.
Oh.
Nat 20 on the first fortitude save for Taldir.
Nat 20 as Taldir throws a shot back. It is hot like lava and tastes vaguely like spoiled milk, but you just stiffen in the face of it. Taz?
23 for Taz, and when I hit it, can I actually, I want to swirl it around in my mouth and then take it back. It's like, you know, is it actually, you know, like strong? Or is it just...
It is incredibly strong, and you feel it in your brain. It is not only alcoholic, there is a mild hallucinogenic effect associated with it.
And where can I find that? Not Amaris, but Kenny.
And then my will Absent? Save what? 7. I don't know if we were...
Nice, yeah, for sure.
My will miss? Save 8. It's on your character sheet, right in like the top box, like the middle of it, right next to your armor class, and in between your armor class and your hit points, you have saving throws.
Oh, I see.
You're doing fortitude and then will.
Okay, so 18 plus 5, 18, 19, 22. 23.
That's a success.
Nice. That is enough to succeed everybody, or all three of you succeed. I'm buying new dice. You see the three brothers take the shot, and he's like, this is worse than I remember. The second one's like, I've been at home with the baby for the last 5 months. This was supposed to be a nice night out. Fuck you, Smythe. And then the third one is like already like kind of loopy. That was a fail, and a critical fail. So they have each moved to the first stage of being drunk, which actually provides them a +1 bonus to saving throws against fear effects and nothing else
well,
for right now.
That's actually going to be pretty relevant because I have a feat called Intimidating Glare that allows me to demoralize with a mere glare. And I would like to attempt to use it on the brother that I am against, basically. Before he takes his next shot, because if he does get demoralized, he gets fear, which I think just reduces all of his saves by 1. Well, it reduces like everything by 1.
But let's go ahead and make that will save first.
Oh.
So will with the D20 or?
D20.
That was a D12.
Yeah.
20.
No. It's a DC 12 check to, like, pass it. You have to roll a 12, but you're rolling a D20 and adding your will modifier.
Yes, exactly.
The whole time, I'm just like, can
we? Reminds me of this time. One time I got really high and there was a wheelbarrow next to me, and I was just standing there for what felt like an eternity going, wheelbarrow. 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 Just like saying wheelbarrow in like a variety of different ways.
You say the word over and over, just, you know, so it just becomes a noise, you know? So you're just like, Kenwick.
Yeah.
Kenwick. Kenwick.
As you're doing that, you are standing across from Galvion at the table, and you see his pupils are enormous. Like when you turn the light on, a cat at night.
Yeah.
And he is just like, stop saying my name, man. Stop saying my name, man. Stop saying my name, man.
I want my eyes to go from black to white. Like, have them go all black, then all white, all black, all white.
Oh my god. This is real psychological warfare shit. What was your will save?
25.
25, okay. So the party is doing great. Sounds like you're the ones that ate blue collar words.
Kenwick.
All right. So, top of round two, we will do Wesley versus Smythe first, and then Taz versus Kinder, and finally Taldir versus Galvion. So go ahead. Are you going to try to make a bluff, do an intimidation, or attempt to secretly dump your shat? Or just take it?
That was to me?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it. This was just like...
All right, let's... let's roll that... was it fortitude?
Ooh, 18 plus
5.
That's
23. 18 okay. plus... You clear it super easy again. He seems to like... choke it down. Go ahead and make the wisdom save.
14 plus 7. 21.
14 plus 7. You Fast are math. Golden.
When's the last time you rolled below a 10? Like, what? Hey, what is this dice?
Some people...
Do your dice have below 10?
Roll well.
It's just insane.
Michelle must have this dice's like twin star because this thing has rolled nothing but shit.
It's awful. Dice depending on my mood. Today I'm using blue.
Apparently my mood is terrible.
Yeah.
I'm just going to walk around the table kind of like, almost like I'm stalking prey and just kind of watch everything, make sure nobody's cheating. Well, their team.
Roll a perception check.
15.
You see three individuals walk into the door. You don't take much mind of them at first, but something about the way that they appear to be eyeballing your table is a little unnerving, but they go ahead and take their own seat in kind of the northwestern corner of the room, and as they sit, they continue to watch. Wesley, you were fine. Smythe was okay. He did all right, but Taz, you are up. What are you going... Or yeah, go ahead and make that... Roll, or let me know if you're going to take an action.
I'm going to take an action. I'm just going Kenwick. And then I'm going to grab his shot, and I'm going to take both.
Roll an intimidation check.
All right. Intimidation is plus 0, so 11.
11. As you take the shots, go ahead and roll 2. Fortitude saves.
Kenwick. Knock one
as that's
back.
Going on, I'm going to try to get Teldir's attention and kind of let him know, like, what I was looking at, the new observers.
Awesome. Okay, so we'll circle back to that on Taldir's turn then.
So I got a 2 plus 8 is 10. And then the second...
Okay.
19.
So you are stage one drunk. You have plus one on item bonuses to saving throws against fear effects. And, but you save the other one.
Kenwick.
And he's going to watch you do this.
Kenwick.
Stop saying my name, man! And he's just going to, like, take two rips from the bottle, go match for match on you. That was a bad idea. You see, he's, like, kind of, like, leaning over, very, like, intoxicated now. He is stage two drunk from alcohol. Let's make the wisdom saves.
I'd have to make two, right?
Okay. Yes. This is basically to see if the trip is turning on you.
Okay, so I hit a 15 for the first one, and then an 8 on the second one.
An 8 on the second one. So Taz is feeling pretty good. He's starting to like see things that he understands aren't there, but he's kind of like riding with it, like kind of vibing with it. He kind of feels the environment. This guy, you can see he's like starting to breathe hard, just like he's like looking at you and your eyes are like growing out on stalks, and then your mouth just like extends and it's like Kenwick. Kenwick. He's having a hard time. Taldir, it is your turn. What are you gonna do?
And then
we'll get to the interaction with Amris.
Yeah, so Taldir wants to do the intimidating glare thing. And assuming Amris just kind of like is like non-verbally like nodding like in the direction of the people he saw or whatever, Taldir's gonna do like his, you know, glare or whatever and like look down like the line of the people in the competition, and then also like use it as kind of an excuse to look around and see where Amris was like indicating, but like kind of covertly.
Okay. Do I need to roll anything?
I think it's against their will DC. A demoralized check is against their will DC.
All right, so go ahead.
No roll for you. Yeah. 13?
13? Okay, so what's the effect?
They are demoralized, which I think is frightened 1.
Awesome. Okay. So, yeah. This poor guy is already almost out of it, so go ahead and roll your will save. Go ahead and roll your fortitude saves.
Dukes.
He said the 1. We'll save, yeah.
Come on, you fucking dice.
Oh, 12.
12. As Taldir pushes through, he becomes even more inebriated. He actually had a critical fail on the first one, so he is now stage 3 drunk. He is clumsy 1, flat-footed, stupefied, and apparently... fear 1? Afraid 1?
Frightened 1, but technically...
Frightened 1.
It goes down at the end of his turn by 1 level, so it's pretty short.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, that was... I have a plus 9 on my fortitude save, by the way, so natural 3.
Natural 3, wow.
And then so will you save? Don't...
Yep, will save.
That's a natural 17 for a 23 total, so...
No big deal.
No, you're
no
good.
No big deal, dude.
You see Galvian, he's just like kind of like hanging onto the bar at this point, and he's like, you know what, man, I actually think we could be friends. It's like, I think you're cool, you know? Like, I think we got off on the wrong foot, man. You know, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Do you get that? No? Okay, well. See, that's like, that's so cool, though. You see what I mean? Like, that's... This is like what a cool person would say, I think.
Alright, bud.
Alright.
He's like, you know when like you're around drunk people, but you're sober and you're just like kind of uncomfortable and don't... Like, they're like children, but like adults, so you can't like attribute their innocence to being a child.
I literally have never experienced that, but I'm sure many of my friends have, and I commiserate with them.
Well, anyways, it's just like awkward where it's like, all right, champ.
Yeah.
Champ.
We are back to the top. Wesley v. Smythe. What are you going to do, Wesley?
I want my eyes to keep going black and white. I'm going to take this shot.
What are you doing? So, I can't... Are my eyes doing that? Are my eyes doing that?
Are my eyes doing that?
Pretty... Whoa! You don't even know! Okay.
16 plus 5. 20. 21. 21. This is blue dice. Or die.
A natural 4.
Yeah.
Guys are like, he's like, oh, I think I forgot to eat lunch or something. It's
really hit me.
Okay, go ahead
Glad
and roll
you came
the,
to party.
Oh my god, a natural 5 on the will save. What do you got?
16 plus 7. Whatever that is.
Yeah. As you, like, you're just flashing your eyes, and he's just going to be like, it's too much change. There's too much change. It keeps changing. I don't... I gotta get out of here! He is gonna take off. The first one is down. He failed everything.
Can Michelle just roll for me from now on? Like,
she should just mail you that die that she has. You know?
Yeah.
I've got to succeed sometime, guys.
Or maybe I'll just buy some weighted dice, too. Jesus Christ.
Let's go to Knightswear. We'll that's where we go.
Knightswear? Where is that?
It's up in, like, Burbank, right, Sam?
Oh, nice. Hey, whoa, no free shout-outs. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll bleep it.
It's a cool spot.
Have to check them out. So before we move over to Taz, we'll check in with Amaris. Amaris, what are you doing while all this is going on? You see, Smythe just kind of bail and immediately sprint out of the tavern.
Not too worried about him. I'm just still observing, looking for anybody trying to cheat, anybody, more importantly, anybody grabbing for weapons, with hurt feelings.
Okay. All right, Taz, go ahead. What are you going to do?
Kenwick. I'm going to take another shot. So I don't know how this guy's feeling. At this point, I'm just... All right. I'm just drinking. I've forgotten that I'm...
You're not even competing anymore?
Oh, okay. Natural 1 for a 9.
So Taz is stage 3 drunk now. You are clumsy 1, flat-footed, stupefied 2.
What's stupefied?
Stupefied, your thoughts and instincts are clouded. Stupefied always includes a value, in this case 2. You take a status penalty equal to this value on will saves, spell attack modifiers, spell DCs, and skill checks that use these attribute modifiers.
Okay, so I take a penalty to the will save, right?
What is it? Yep. So let's go ahead and roll.
The minus what?
Minus 2.
Beautiful. Okay, so 3.
3 yeah. Total? Yeah.
The way you said beautiful, I was expecting higher.
The way that, the energy...
So minus 2, plus 3. Yeah. So
math checks out.
So
I
0. I didn't even have a 1. I had nothing.
Yeah, that kind of energy you were vibing to earlier now starts to like turn on you, and you begin to see just like out of the corner of your eye little like flickers of like flames and things like that. That as soon as your attention turns to them, they disappear, but it keeps kind of like popping up.
Yeah, I'll be like, Kenwick, Kenwick. And then out of nowhere, I'll just be
and
like,
and he,
Giovanna? And then, huh? And then I'll shake my head.
He's just gonna be like, Kenwick. Are that? We are all Kenwick. Kenwick is me. Kenwick is us. Kenwick. And you see him like kind of like just start to like shake his head back and forth. He doesn't have much of an idea what's going on. These guys are rolling terribly. But Taldir, we are with you. Outside of Smythe, who critically failed and ran off, Galvian is in the worst shape right now. So he is just going to slam his shot. But what are you going to do?
Same thing as last time. Attempt to demoralize and then take the shot.
All right, roll that check.
Okay, that's good. A massive pad, critical success. 24.
Nice. You actually like kind of stiffen up as he takes the shot, and he's just like, Mother, the flowers are in bloom, Mother. I can and then he just like slumps and he like falls forward and you see his head just hit the table and bounce and he just like flops backwards onto the ground. His brother is like Kenwick. And he like grabs Galvion and like pulls him up and he turns to the three of you and he's just like, Kenwick. And starts to like drag his brother towards the exit and he's just like, Kenwick. As soon as they leave the room, you see the three others who had entered earlier kind of stand and approach the table. One of them is a human male, looks in relatively good condition. He's got kind of a grin on his face. The other one is a human female, long dark hair. She seems to be like eyeing the room, kind of trying to keep a watch out. The third member is a female dwarf. She's wearing kind of a heavy coat, and underneath you can see like a variety of like ripped and torn kind of like shirts and other sort of top layers. She has like leather armor pants, but they're like ripped and torn in places. And she looks ill, to be honest. As they approach, the man in front is just going to take a seat that was just vacated by Galvian when he fell. And he's going to look Taldir in the face and just say, interesting set of eyes you got there. I hear you're looking for someone.
I am. A man named Vale.
That's all I needed to know. She can tell you all about him. And he's going to hand this looks like a pill to the dwarven female, and then he's going to stand. She takes the pill, and you see her eyes kind of like roll back in her head, and she begins to just like. He and the human woman sort of step back. And you begin to see the dwarf woman's body, like, arch and convulse. You can see, like, bone and muscle move across the surface of her skin, tearing it in places, reaching for other portions of her body, she begins to morph into like this four-legged creature. Two ribs kind of emerge from her face like tusks as she just like releases this scream of agony. Everyone in the room begins to scream and run. There is utter chaos, and within moments, it doesn't take long, you are faced with this mutated creature. And that's where we're going to end the game tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please join us next time as we continue to roll bravely on.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, good night. Thank you. Good night. Or good morning.
Or good morning.
Yeah.
International.
Whatever you have going on, I hope it's going well.
Roll Bravely is a fan production featuring the Pathfinder 2nd Edition role-playing system and is created for entertainment purposes only. All characters, adventures, and interpretations of game mechanics are our own creation and do not represent official Pathfinder content. Pathfinder and all related trademarks are owned by Paizo Inc. We are not affiliated with nor endorsed by Paizo Inc. Game content may include fantasy violence, mature themes, and improvised gameplay that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Thank you for listening, and please join us next time as we roll bravely on.